where the wait of 20 years was over when they moved into the promised land. I haven't got to really those battles yet, but the first thing I want you to understand as we've been talking about this is where the Lord, and I've taught this, where he really emphasized be strong and courageous. Because anytime you're taking new territory, when you're in a place where you haven't ever been before, it's very uncomfortable. And I'm sure you all have places like that in your life. So the cool thing is he's kind of directed me. We've been talking about these different battles. And we talked about the Moses one where when Moses would get tired, they would raise his hands and they would win the battle. And then last week was Jehoshaphat and how they went to prayer and they sent the unarmed praise worship team in front and the battle was won. Today I want to talk about another battle that's, this one might really hit home with a lot of y'all simply because you might sense and feel like you're in this. But this week we're going to talk about how God, not the army, wins another battle. I told you last week, you can look through the word, search it out. I've done it. There's not one battle that Israel or anybody ever won. Only God won battles. When they tried to do it on their own, they kind of messed up. That's why we mess up and then we blame God. How silly is that? We'll make a dumb mistake. Where were you, God? Well, I was watching you do your thing, you know. When you're done, let me know and I'll take care of it. That's kind of where these people are today. Let's look at it. So the Israelites, as was quite often, did evil in the Lord's sight. So the Lord handed them over to the Midianites for 7 years. Now watch this. The Midianites were so cruel that the Israelites made hiding places for themselves in the mountains, caves, and strongholds. And whenever the Israelites planted their crops, marauders from Midian, Amalek, and the people of the east would attack Israel, camping in the land and destroying their crops as far away as Gaza. So they left the Israelites with nothing to eat, taking all the sheep, all the goats, all the cattle, all the donkeys. Have you been there or are you there where you feel like everything has been stolen? Let's keep going. And these enemy hordes coming with their livestock and tents were as thick as locusts. And they arrived on droves of camels that were too numerous to count. And they stayed until the land was stripped bare. So Israel was reduced to starvation by the Midianites. Then, the Israelites cried out to the Lord for help. If you remember last week, Jehoshaphat started with prayer, right? These guys waited until there was starvation. Then they cried out for help. So I'll just read it like I wrote it. No need to wait, folks. Sooner you call on God, the better. Man, listen, honest to goodness. And you would think you'd learn this after hundreds of years. I feel like I've been alive, that I've known him. But there's always that thing in us that feels like we can fix it or we can do something to help it. Or and it's like I mentioned this last week because I think we do this a lot with our children and just with other people. We can just love them through it. Yes, our love is going to affect them, but it needs to start in heaven with talking with God. So here's what happened. By the way, the word today is just going to kind of preach this whole message. It's great. There's not really much to add. When they cried out to the Lord because of Midian, the Lord sent a prophet to the Israelites, and he said this. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I brought you up out of slavery in Egypt. I rescued you from the Egyptians and from all who oppressed you. He's reminding them of his history. And let me remind you today, ladies and gentlemen, start from today and look backwards and tell me one time God has not been faithful to you. There's not one. So verse 9, I rescued you from the Egyptians and from all who oppressed you. I drove out your enemies and gave you their land. I told you, I'm the Lord your God. You must not worship the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live. But you have not listened to me. That sounds so harsh, doesn't it? But you know what? Here's what I said. Don't you just love God? He points out what needs to change, then moves on our behalf anyway. God points out look what you've done. He's making it very clear. You have messed up, but he's always there for us. Jesus is the primest example of that. None of us could ever get it. And so God finally sent Christ, his son, to take care of this stuff. So let's move on in the story because there's a lot to cover today because it's a great story, and I didn't want to leave too much of it out in the Bible because you'd call me a liar that it was really in there. So then the angel of the Lord came right after God had rebuked them. The angel of the Lord came and sat beneath the great tree at Ophrah, ladies and gentlemen. It's not Oprah. Everybody wants to call it Oprah. It's Ophrah. My understanding, by the way, just side note, is her she was actually named after this person, but they just left off the H. So there you go. So anyway, he by the tree of Oprah, and I see you got me saying it, which belonged to Joash. By the way, Joash is Gideon's son, that belonged to Joash of the clan of Abiezer. So Gideon, son of Joash, was threshing wheat at the bottom of a wine press, watch, to hide the grain from the Midianites. Why? Because they were stealing everything they could. So here this is a God believer that is hiding stuff from the enemy because he's determined in his brain that the enemy's more powerful than his God. You get it? Yeah. All right. So he was threshing wheat at the bottom of the wine press to hide the grain. Verse 12, the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, I love this, mighty hero, the Lord is with you as you're groveling trying to hide grain from the enemy that you're scared of. You're a mighty hero. Look at Gideon. He's smart. Gideon's smart. This is exactly what I would have said. Sir, Gideon replied, if the Lord's with us, why? Let's just stop there for a second. Have we ever said it? Oh, if God is who he is, why is this happening? If the Lord's with us, why has all this happened to us? And where, have we not said it? If you, why and where, God, where are you going? And where are all the miracles our ancestors told us about? Didn't they say the Lord brought us out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to the Midianites. Yeah, it's all God's fault that they disobeyed. Then the Lord turned to him and said, this is what I love. Go with strength that you have and rescue Israel from the Midianites. I am sending you, but Lord. Gideon replied, how can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest in the whole tribe of Manasseh. Manasseh was a very small tribe, by the way. And I am the least in my entire family. You are picking the wrong person, God. And the Lord said to him, well, I'll be with you. Do you realize that the Bible says very clearly that he is with us no matter what, high, low, north, south, he is with us. He is with us. So those times that you have doubt in your mind that you don't have the ability or you can't do that, he's with you. You get it. He's with you. So you have everything that you need because he's with you. Not because you're all that, but because he's with you. But I'll be with you. And you will destroy the Midianites. The Midianites, as the sands of the sea, like locusts, can't even count the camels because there's so many of them. And you will destroy the Midianites as if you were fighting against one guy. Yeah, sure, God, sure. One guy, look at him. That's a one big guy you got there. Let me stop for a second. So, if God is with us, why did this happen is what Gideon asked. And it's quite simple, because they walked away from God and served other idols. Yet, after all that, here's God telling him to do the battle. After all that negative, after all them messing up, this is why I'm not God and most of you aren't God, because we would just kill and start over. You get it? So then he says, here's what I love. When he says, why, God, did you do this? God's answer to him was go. He didn't even give him time of day on why. How am I going to do this? I'll be with you. That's what he said. Now Gideon, like all of us, moves from discouragement, trying to hide his meal so the enemy didn't get it, to doubt. He went to doubt, straight to doubt. Here it is. And Gideon replied, well, if you're truly going to help me, prove it. Show me a sign to prove that it's really the Lord speaking to me. So here's what happened. Gideon says, wait a minute, just stay right there. I'll be right back. True story. You can read this in there. And he runs home and he kills a goat and he gets some bread and he made it without yeast, unleavened bread, and he brings it back as an offering to this, to prove. He's wanting this angel to prove that he's from God. So, and the angel tells him, set it on that rock. And he set it on the rock. The angel touches it with his staff, and poof, it's gone, and so is the angel. You would think that would be good enough. But you know it's not, simply because the enemy's a lot larger than what God's saying. God's saying it's one man. No, 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 you don't. You can't see God. No, we can't see. Let's pray God opens our eyes to what the enemy really is, a little groveling munchkin. So, he gets the, I told you that. The angel disappears, and then Gideon names this place, you're going to love this because you've heard this word all the time, names this place Yahweh Shalom, the place of peace. How can he be speaking peace in the midst of this army that's fixing to attack? Because he had an experience with God. Let me tell you something. We can talk about God all we want. We can memorize the scripture. But until we experience him, we don't have anything. So God says to him, here's what I want you to do. I love this too. I want you to take your dad's bull, which is Joash, and I want you to go and I want you to tear down the altar of Baal, and I want you to take the Asherah pole that's next to it, and I want you to take it out of the ground, and I want you to take the wood from that pole. I love this. I want you to take the wood from that pole and use that wood to build an altar for me. Take the enemy's wood, the thing that they worship, and then build an altar for me. Take the wicked's money and serve other people. All right, sorry. So he did. He did it at night because he was afraid, because he knew the Israelites were going to be mad. That here's what's so funny. He knew the Israelites were going to be mad because they tore down an altar of a God they weren't supposed to be serving, but he was scared. So he did it at night. Well, sure enough, the next day, everybody's out there and like, oh, dude, who tore this down? Who did all this? And it finally got back to where it was Gideon. And so Gideon's dad, Joash, comes up and says this. But Joash shouted to the mob that was trying to kill Gideon, that confronted him, why are you defending Baal? Why do we protect and defend the enemy? Because we do. Because we're worried about our reputation. We're worried about how people will think about us. Don't be silly, man. But let's be honest here. Joash was pretty selfish because this was his son. So, I mean, what he said is true, but I think it was somebody else. Joash probably would have kept quiet. But he says, so why are you defending Baal? Will you argue his case? Whoever pleads his case will be put to death by morning. And if Baal truly is a god, let him defend himself and destroy the one who broke down his altar. Verse 32, so from then on, Gideon was called Jerubbaal, which means let Baal defend himself. What a great name. I love it. If Gay and I ever have another child, which it will be an immaculate conception, we will name him Jerubbaal and just call him Jer. Okay. So then after this scenario, here's what happened. The armies gathered to do battle. Remember, sands of the sea, swarms as locusts, can't count how many camels there are. There was a whole bunch of folks here, of these people. They had gathered together, and still in doubt, Gideon did the fleece thing. And we all know Gideon's fleece. What he did was he told God, look, I get it. And obviously it wasn't very fresh in his mind that offering was consumed by just touching the staff. And he said, look, God, if this is for real, then I'm going to put this sheep fleece, which is just a wool blanket, if you will, right here. And in the morning, it will be totally soaked. But none of the ground around it will be anything. So sure enough, the next morning, Bible says it. The fleece was soaked wet. The ground was dry around him. He even picked it up and squeezed the water out. And Gideon says, that's a good one, God, but please don't be mad at me. Would you do it again? Opposite. Make it dry and then make the ground around it all wet. Because see, we sometimes we don't like God's answer, so we want to do fleeces. When God says no, we're like, well, you meant maybe, right? Yeah. So sure enough, same thing. Bone dry it was, and the ground was soaking wet with dew. So let me see where I'm at here. So, let's just go to the to the scripture. We're getting to the good part of this, and then we'll be done. So Zerubbabel, and then they put, that is Gideon. So you can call Gideon. So if you ever say something about Zerubbabel, people don't know it's Gideon, just tell, you're a Bible scholar now. And so Zerubbabel and his army got up early and went as far as the spring of Herod, or Herod, actually. The armies of Midian were camped north of them in the valley near the hill of Moreh. And the Lord said to Gideon, you have too many warriors with you. Okay, sands of the sea, can't count how many camels. He's got right now 32,000. 32,000 warriors with him. God said, nah, it's too many. Yeah, I would have been getting out and go, could we do that fleece thing again? So the Lord said, you've got too many warriors with you, and if I let all, watch this, if I let all of you fight the Midianites, the Israelites will boast to me that they saved themselves by their own strength. Boy, isn't that who we are too, man. Verse 3, so therefore, tell the people, whoever is timid or afraid may leave this mountain and go home. So 22,000 stayed. So 22,000 of them went home, leaving only 10,000 who were willing to fight. 22,000 walked away in fear. You will never win a battle when you are in fear, ever. And you will never be in fear if you sincerely go to God first. Because what do you say? The perfect love casts out all fear, all of it. Perfectly. Who's the only one with perfect love? I certainly don't have it. It's him. So, the story goes on. This gets even better. But the Lord said to Gideon, there's still too many. Stop it. Bring them down to the spring, and I'll test them to determine who will go with you and who won't. So when Gideon took his warriors down to the water, the Lord told him, divide the men into two groups. In one group, put all those who cup the water in their hands and lap it with their tongue. Yeah. Put those guys, those crazy, put those in one place. Or that. And the rest of them that are normal, that put their head into the water, aren't looking around, but they put their head, you get out. They're lapping like a dog, but at least the blame that with the sea. Are those drinking the water? So now I love this. So divide the niggers in one group, those with their tongues lapping like a dog, and in the other group put all those who kneel down and drink with their mouths in the street. Normal people. People who, if I'm thirsty and I'm near a stream, I'm going to normally get on my knees and drink like it's a big straw there. I'm not going to cup it and lap like a dog. That's not normal. So here's what I love. Only 300 men drank from their hands. All the others got down on their knees and drank with their mouths in the stream. And I promise you, if, as I live and breathe, Gideon thought, thank God I'm only going to lose 300. I'm going to have 9,700 left to do this battle. But look what God said. The Lord told Gideon, with these 300 men, with these 300 dog men, these 300 men that don't look the part, smell the part, drink right, these 300 who have enough sense to lap and look for the enemy, you got it. With these 300 men, I will rescue you and give you victory over the Midianites. And he sent all the other ones home, which I'm sure 9,700 of those men to a man were glad they were sent home. That's quite the battle to happen. So, here's what happened next. Well, I'm just, like I said, I'm letting the Bible preach it this morning. So Gideon collected the provisions, and the ram's horn represents praise, the shofar. I did a whole teaching on shofar. The ram's horns. So Gideon collected provisions, rams, and horns, and other warriors, and sent them home. But he kept the 300 men. And here's what's so funny. Those 300 men were crazy enough to be glad he did keep them. You know what I'm saying? What's next, Gideon? What are we going to do? Let's do this. Let's do this. Ah, that's not a big, but we'll get them all. I love that. Give me 300 men like that, and we'll storm hell. So the Midianite camp was in the valley just below Gideon. Now, here's what I love about God. That night, the Lord knowing that Gideon was probably thinking he's fixing to die in a real quick way. 300 against hundreds and hundreds of thousands of the enemy. That night he said, I want you to get up and I want you to go down into the Midian camp, for I've given you victory over them. But if you're afraid to attack, go down to the camp with your servant Purah and listen to what the Midianites are saying, and you will be greatly encouraged. Then you will be eager to attack. So Gideon took Purah and went down to the enemy camp. So let's go to the next scripture. I think I put it up there, this story, this part of the story. So the armies of Midian and Amalek and the people of the east had settled in the valley like swarm of locusts against 300 men. Well, 300 men plus Gideon, 301. And their camels were like the grains of sand of the seashore. Do you hear this? Too many to count. Verse 13. Gideon crept up just like a man was telling his companion about a dream. And the man said, I had this dream. And in my dream, a loaf of barley bread came tumbling down into the Midian camp. It hit a tent, turned it over, and knocked it flat. And his companion answered, your dream can mean only one thing. God has given Gideon, son of Joash, the Israelite, victory over Midian and all its allies. They don't have a clue it's only 300 coming up against him. Isn't that powerful? So let's just keep on with the story. It gets really sweet here. So when Gideon heard the dream and its interpretation, he bowed in worship before the Lord. Then he returned to the Israelite camp and he shouted, get up, for the Lord has given you victory over the Midian hordes. And he divided the 300 men. You got this, man? Add another 100 in here. And that's what we're saying. Okay, I want to divide you up, and we're going to go kill all those guys right there. You see that? We're going to kill them all. All of them. I know we don't even have enough to surround them. I get it. I mean, if he tried to surround the enemy, they couldn't even hear each other. Do you hear that? There's 300 of these people. So he divided the 300 men into three groups, so there's 100 in each group, and he gave each of them a shofar, a ram's horn, and a clay jar with a torch in it. And then he said to them, keep your eyes on me, Gideon speaking. When I come to the edge of the camp, I want you to do just exactly as I do. And as soon as I and those with me blow the ram's horns, blow your horns too, all 300 of you buddies. And all around the entire camp, shout, for the Lord and for Gideon. Thank God he didn't say for Gideon and for the Lord, because they would have been destroyed in a heartbeat. 19, and it was just after midnight. Isn't it funny how God moves after midnight? Remember when Paul and Silas were praising after midnight, the Bible says, and they were praising so hard, God was tapping his foot, and the whole jailhouse rocked out. So it's always after midnight. So, you know, by the way, for me personally, God does some really cool things after midnight in speaking to me. Never wake up in the middle of the night without your first thought being, are you trying to tell me something? Because there are many times where he will wake us in the night and have us pray for people we don't even know. Have us pray, just pray to pray. And then, you know, a year later, someone come and go, man, when I was going through this, I was feeling prayer. And you don't say nothing to them, but you realize you were praying with them. You're praying. God's got everything under control, though we feel out of control. So for the Lord and for Gideon, verse 19, it was just after midnight, after the changing of the guard, which there were more guards, I'm sure, than they had guys, when Gideon and the 100 men with them reached the edge of the Midianite camp, and suddenly they blew their ram's horns, whoo, and broke their clay jars that were over the top of a torch. That's going to kill everybody. Then all three groups heard it. So they blew their horns, and they broke their jars, and they held the blazing torches in their left hands and the horn in their right hands. And they all shouted, a sword for the Lord and for Gideon! Ah! Boo! You better run. We're going to kill you all. Ah! Verse 21, each man stood at his position. Do you remember that last week? Stay in your position. Each man stood at his position. What position? My position, for the most part, lately has been on my knees. Sometimes my position is standing firm against the wiles of the devil. Sometimes my position is crying out with my arms lifted. Stay in your position. So it says, when they blew their horn, wait. So they stood at his position around the camp and watched. They watched the victory without having to do anything. They watched as all the Midianites rushed around in a panic from 300 men, blowing a horn, smashing a clay jar, and holding a torch. So when the 300 Israelites blew their ram's horn, the Lord caused the warriors in the camp to fight against each other with their swords. Those who were not killed fled to places as far away as Beth Shittah, near Zerarah, to the border of Abel Meholah, near Tabath, and I practiced those words for the whole week. Just so you know. Here's my conclusion. I just want to touch on some things that I think we walked through. A few thoughts, and then Gay will come up and we'll have communion, whatever the Lord gives her. The first point I wrote is fear will not win any battle. God knew better than any of us that those 22,000 that were walking in fear would contaminate those who were not walking in fear. Man, when we hang with people who walk in fear, does it not kind of rub off on us if we're not careful? You know what I'm saying? And I mean people just crazy fear. You know, I just fear that's silly fear. You know, my mother, God rest, bless her soul, she's 93 years old, and she just gets things in her brain. I think all she does is sit around and think of things. So she watched the news one day, and there was a sinkhole in Florida. And so we were on our fixing to go to Disney, and she was very serious, and she grabbed us and said, y'all, you probably don't need to go. There's sinkholes in Florida. And I'm like, well, they're going to have to swallow the magical express bus. I didn't say that. You know, but and again, it's her age. But there are people who just walk in fear of everything. Walk in fear of everything. I'm not telling you to walk away from them, but I am telling you that it's your love that's going to overcome that fear. You hear me? Because the Word says it very clearly. So those 22,000 had to get out of the battlefield because fear will not win any battle. Fear of what's going to happen, fear of what might happen, worry. I know people who worry because they worry too much. Don't do it. My second point is this. Strength is not in numbers, though we all think it is. God said 32,000 was too many. That was not too many for the hundreds of thousands that they were going to fight. Then he gets them down to 10,000, and he says, that's still too many. So he separates them. And so there's now finally, again, I'm convinced Gideon thought, oh, great, at least 9,700. And then he sends those home, 300. Why? Because strength is not in numbers as much as we think so. You know, and that's in any avenue. You know, it's the huge divide that's now in our country concerning politics. You will never convince whatever side of the political scheme you're on, the other side, to change anything. You will never do it. And what tickles me is, what happens is, especially on social media, you know, people will be posting one from the Republican side and the Democrat side and all. And I laugh. I mean, I laugh because what they're just picking their corruption. It's all corrupt. Every bit of it's corrupt. So my corrupt guy's not as bad as your corrupt guy, so I'm going to fight for him till he's dead corrupt. When the truth is, where does the answer does not lie in politics? They are killing each other. The battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. And I'm fixing to tell you how the victory's only going to happen in this country. But let me get this other point out of my way. God prepares the enemy for defeat. Hear me. Yes, he let Gideon hear. But he allowed the enemy to walk in fear. I promise you, The second that craziness happened with the blowing of the horns and bushing and this torch going up, those guys that had that dream said, "There it is! Yeah, look out! We're gonna!" And they just start killing each other because that dream had to make its rounds. See, God loves us so much; He puts fear where it belongs, in our enemy. So the next time you have fear, you need to bow up to that. And you need to say, "I'm not the one walking in fear. You are enemy. I'm not the one defeated. You are enemy. I'm not the one. I'm not the one. I have my armor of God on. I have this, the sword of the Spirit. I've got truth. I've got righteousness. I got it all. You got nothing but a big, loud mouth. Sir, the Bible tells me that you go around roaring like a lion, but you got no teeth. You got it. And he can scream. Listen, and I'll probably do Goliath sometime in the future. When Goliath, before his defeat, he was the loudest he'd ever been. "I'm going to take you, and I'm going to serve you to the birds of the air." Just loud and roar. Big old guy, and here's a little 17-year-old ruddy face, which means he had zit. Zit face David. I'm going to save that story. We'll get there. Maybe next week. Who knows? I don't know where I'm going with it. I love it. I love teaching the battle because we are in a battle. And the 2020 is a battle because that's why the word says be strong and courageous. We've been sitting for 20 years. I'm saying in all situations in our life, and the year 2020 represents the wait is over. So that means we move forward. And as we move forward, we're consuming territory we've never been in. That's exciting to me. My teaching is weird now to me. And well, y'all too, but don't say it. Just say it behind my back or something. Send me an email or whatever. So, let's get back on point. So, by the way, you know on point, it's not O-N. I'm really off. It's not O-N-P-O-I-N-T. It's on point, E-N. It's a French word. E-N-P-O-I-N-T-E. It's what ballerinas do. And they go on point. I can't do it because I'll break my toes. But they go on point. You know when they do a little spinny thing? So that's what that means. I want to get on point. That means I want to get back to the perfect. Yes. Anyway, that's probably neither here nor there for you. And you forget it. And that's not a bad thing either. So, okay, I said we're never outnumbered in God. No. God said God prepares the enemy for defeat. Puts fear in him. I love it. Then my next point is we're never outnumbered in God. Again, it was 300 against the sands of the sea. And here's another thing we need to understand. God's way is not our way. 300 with clay jars and a torch. 300 with clay jars and a torch. Watch the enemy kill each other. Out of what? Because they were in fear. My last point is this. Arrogance cannot win any battle. And as I was walking, I've taught this before, and I've read it a lot in the Bible. But this particular thing jumped out at me, so I actually wrote it down, and I want you to see it and take a picture of it if you want to or whatever. The clay must be broken for the torch to be seen and the enemy to be defeated. They never would have defeated them had the clay not been broken and the torch raised. You want to see this country turn around with the huge division that there is? Whether that's a black-white issue, a political issue, a gender, whatever that issue is, the clay's got to be broken so that the torch can be seen, so that the enemy can be defeated. Right? Chew on that this week, and we'll see where we head next week.
In my notes, when you read that scripture, this is what I wrote down. Just do what God tells you. Get rid of anything that blocks the light of God and use your breath to praise. See, they use the left hand to hold the light, but they use the right hand for praise. And here's the thing. When the other guys left, like the 9,700, when he got rid of them, he said he took their provisions and he took their horn, which is the shofar, which that was only blown to announce battle or a wedding or a victory. That was the only purpose. Everybody knew that. So he says to them, they got rid of everything that was hiding the light. We have this earth this earthen vessel, this clay vessel, we've got to get rid of us so he can shine. But they took from the others the thing that was meant to praise. Guys, there's a lot of praise that isn't happening over our nation because people are so bound in what is right and what they deserve and passionate hatred that we should be able to take the praise that's lacking in this earth and begin to say, God, I'm not just going to praise you for me. I'm going to praise you for the ungrateful. God, I'm going to begin to give the praise for those who aren't praising you. God, I'm going to lift my hands today for the praise that's been withheld for all that you've done. God, I want you to know right now that I just thank you that you've been saving my family for generations and all of them who didn't even know how to thank you. I'm going to lift my voice of praise right now to you, God, and say, my family will not be defeated. My future's not in my past. I leave the things that were behind and I want the things that last. I want to move forward with the presence of God. And they took in their right hand, which represents authority, the praise, and they used their breath to praise the Lord. You're going to use your breath to speak life or death. You're going to use your breath to speak fear and to continue to perpetuate that fear as happened in that dream, or you're going to speak life and say, it doesn't matter how much I see, God is going to deliver me. If you're in agreement with that, I want you to stand this morning. These messages are not so you can go home and say, I had a good message today. This message is for you to take and say, today I got something to overcome my fear. Today I got something to overcome my doubt. Today I'm taking in my hand the light of God, and I want my weakness. I'm going to use my weakness to say, look how great God is. Because it doesn't matter if you know my weakness. It does not matter to me if you know my weakness. My weakness only proves how great God is. I will no longer let you cause me to doubt who I am because I recognize who God is. And you put that light up and you put the breath into that thing. Listen, there are people who are so wrapped up in hate, but here's what you need to remember. We didn't disown them. They disowned us. Guys, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, don't lean to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he's going to direct your path. Hey, well, if God's God, how come this country? You know what? I don't know, but for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord.
And walk in peace.
And walk in peace. Well, you know what? If God's good, how come this person got to do this? I don't know. How come God lets me get up every morning? I'm pretty bad. Are you with me? We need to start saying who God is and how great he is, because it's our voice that will turn around. God spoke things into being, and it was. You and I need to let the light of God shine.
Because light overtakes darkness. Darkness every does not
time.
Overtake light.
And that
Ever.
Is the enemy's greatest lie, that there's no hope. There's no hope. Never going to happen. You're a liar. And I will not believe you. God is my refuge and God is my will. He is who I am. And so I have to say, nothing's greater than God. I'm not greater than God. No political force is greater than God. Because every day, one knee, they're going to bow and they're going to confess that he's Lord. And today I want to be confessing him with gratefulness so that he can know when I get there, Gay, it wasn't pretty, but you made it. You said it. You believed me. You trusted me. And whenever the enemy tells you what you cannot do, tell him what God has done. Don't get in the battle with you. Leave you out of it. Go to God. And that's what we're going to do today. We're going to take communion because this brings us back to God. Johnny, if you just come and hold these elements up. Josh, if you'd come and hold those up. Makes it a little easier
There's
for
some
people.
There's some in the back as well. Y'all go ahead and move.
There's elements in the back. Yes, both. Won't you just, everyone, Steve's going to hold right in the middle. Come and get your elements. If you're good to take communion today, we are taking communion to remember him. To remember him. You are a beautiful group. You are a beautiful group. Your love of God is made evident today. I want you to take these elements without condemnation. Don't let the enemy say, well, you shouldn't. You're not. No, today I take it. Just with the lifted hand, how many of you today are burdened for someone that you love? Would you lift a hand? Leave them up so I can see. You're burdened for someone you love. I know you're fighting. I know you're fighting, Miss Carmen. I know you are. But I'm telling you guys, as I live and breathe, God is going to win this battle for us. God is going to do it because he doesn't lose. The enemy's a liar. There is hope. What you have in your hands is God's reminder to us to have hope and believe. I'll never see anybody saved because I convinced them to be saved. But when the Spirit of God touches a man, they can't deny it. Cannot, because it's placed inside of each one of us to know him and to love him. So right now, I think we're finishing up. Thank you. Thank you for that. We're going to take this bread, and this represents his body. You know, you can take this in your hand and break it really easy. It was easy for people to break his body. It was easy for them to do what they did for him. But guys, whenever somebody tries to break you, I want you to remember that the Spirit of God is alive in you to heal you and restore you stronger than before. And I want you to know that there is no weapon that's formed against you that will prosper. And this bread represents a Savior who was willing to be broken by man so that you and I don't have to be. Let's eat together. Now we take this cup that represents the blood of Jesus, the all-powerful blood that takes away the sins, the all-powerful blood that puts things in the sea of forgetfulness, the all-powerful blood that goes before us and keeps death off of us. Father, today we thank you for your mercy and your grace. Lord, I'm asking you to help me rid myself of the things in this earthen vessel, this clay, God, that would keep your light from shining. I want you to shine, Lord. Our nation is dark, and we need you to shine. And you are the hope of this world. And the government will be upon your shoulders because that's your word, and it will not return void. And we thank you for this today, Lord, as we drink together. Father, we give you praise. I want you right now just to begin to start thanking God.
Thank you, Father,
for the victory. God, I thank you for what I don't even know is going to happen yet. Lord, I'm thanking you right now that you have the victory, God. I want you to know that I'm grateful before it even happens, God, that I believe, Lord, that you are moving in the darkness, God. Roll it back, Lord. Let your glory be seen. And I give you praise right now, Father, that my children and my children's children will be saved, God. They will walk under the anointing that breaks every yoke, and they will be set free, and they will be healed. And I stand in agreement today, Lord, for my brothers and sisters in this room, God, who are weak from the battle. And I say, Lord, strengthen from within that is weak, and let it become strong. Let the power of God come into the mind and go in through the body, Lord, and let the Spirit of God raise up in each one to say, my confidence is in God. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. In Jesus' name. And they all said, amen. And God bless Christian Center of Fort Worth. Woo. Amen.